Listen more, know more. The latest news and your place to talk about it. The Big 89,
where Chicago comes to talk.
WLS.
Paul Harris with you every Saturday morning here on Chicago's Talk Station. The B89 WLS. Let me introduce you now to Bruce Schneier, who has been writing about security issues for several years now. I first became aware of him a few years ago when he came out with a book called Beyond Fear, Thinking Sensibly About Security in an Uncertain World. And he has a new one released recently called Schneier on Security, in which he writes about how our homeland security issues are being dealt with here in 2009. Bruce, welcome to the Big 89 WLS.
Hey, thank you. Good morning.
Are we safer now than we were last year at this time?
You know, it's an odd question. I mean, the answer is basically no, because auto accidents haven't gone down. I mean, we're really good at people at focusing on very rare, very spectacular dangers, but the real risks are the common pedestrian dangers. Right? People are afraid to fly and not afraid to drive, or afraid of terrorism, not afraid of regular crime. So no, I don't think we're any safer, but we're no less safe. And, you know, as a society, we're pretty darn safe around here.
You know, one of the things that people were saying after Barack Obama was inaugurated and looking back at the Bush administration was, well, at least under him, we didn't get attacked again. And when people make that argument, part of it is, you know, it's a good thing we have all the security at the airports and on and on and on. But you've looked into this and actually have gotten through many airports yourself, showing that the TSA isn't doing nearly as good a job as they claim to be, right?
Well, Mr., there are lots of ways to cause a terrorist attack, and this is really what we have to sit down and think about. Sure, there hasn't been any attacks except for anthrax for the past 8 years, but there wasn't much in the 8 years previously, and there weren't any of these measures. What this really demonstrates is that attacks are very, very rare. And yes, nothing happened, but I'm not convinced anything would anyway. Right, we look at something like Mumbai, and we learn very graphically and gruesomely that, you know, a dozen people bent on destruction with some guns could cause a whole lot of damage, and there's nothing we can do about it at the site of the target. So, yeah, I look at the rarity, and it tells us that attacks are rare.
Now, speaking of Mumbai, I was reading on your blog about demands from some people. After we found out that the guys who had committed that deadly massacre had used images from Google Earth to kind of learn their way around Mumbai, and so people were complaining yet again, as we've heard many times, that that Google should take down those satellite images because terrorists are using them to strategize. What do you say to that?
So this is a very common reaction, and what we're doing is we're reacting to the tactics of an attack. So yes, the terrorists in Mumbai happened to use Google Earth. They could have used an atlas, they could have used something else, they happened to use Google Earth. So we look at that tactic and say, let's never let that happen again. And we spend money and effort defending against the tactic. The truth is, there are thousands of tactics, there are thousands of targets. Right? If you think of it in terms of airline security, we take away guns and bombs, and the terrorists use box cutters. We take away box cutters and corkscrews, and they put explosives in their shoes. We screen sneakers. They use liquids. We take away liquids. They're going to do something else. So if you look at box cutters or Google Earth or any of the tactics, it's the wrong place to focus. If you think about, let's say, the liquid bomber plot in London, right, that would have gone through airport security because we weren't looking for liquids. Now we are. It'll be a different plot. That plot was foiled through investigation and intelligence. And when you think about the Mumbai attacks or the London or some of the attacks before the United States, we have to get at them before they get to the point of execution. And that points to investigation and intelligence. Taking away the particular tactic that the bad guys happen to use will just have them pick a different tactic. We can't take away all the tactics and keep our society intact.
But is it worthwhile to say, okay, you know what? We don't want them to be able to use that tactic again. We don't want to have guys on board planes with box cutters like you were able to do before 9/11, which is what they were, which is why they weren't even questioned when carrying them on board those flights on that September day 7.5 years ago. So, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have had box cutters allowed on the planes before then, and now it's a good thing that they're not, and on and on and on. Maybe we can say to them, okay, you know what? We found a loophole yet again, thanks to you attacking us, and we're now closing that loophole. What's wrong with that?
That works only if loopholes are scarce. If there are 4 loopholes in our society, closing one makes us a lot safer. If there are 1 million, closing one is irrelevant. It's a waste of money. And so if we defend the airplanes and the terrorists go bomb shopping malls, we're not any safer. We've spent billions forcing them to make a minor change in their tactic. Again, think of the liquid bombers. They were arrested in London before they even got to the airport. It didn't matter if they used liquids or solids or bombing airplanes or buses or subways. They were caught through investigation and intelligence. So, yes, if you close a tactic, you force them to do another. The question is that an effective use of your security dollar? And I say it isn't, because we're not playing to our strengths. Our strengths as a society are in investigation and intelligence and emergency response. When we focus on the tactic, if we get it wrong, we wasted our money. Right? China spent an enormous amount of money on Olympic security. Canada's going to spend the same in 2 years. Nothing happened. That's money wasted. If we spend it on going after the bad guys, we can get them, we make life harder for them, regardless of their tactic.
Well, no, wait a second. Maybe nothing happened because of the security.
Yeah, it's unlikely. I mean, if the bad guys wanted to do something, they would have. And if they couldn't do it at the Olympics, they would have done it someplace else.
But it sounds like you're making the argument that we don't even have to have any security.
No. We need security where it makes sense. Right? We don't get security, let's say, just like a crime. I'm not secure against murder because I'm wearing a bulletproof vest. I'm secure against murder because there's a police force in my city, because people are taught of the right ethics, and people who don't do that are arrested. And that's where we spend the money. Outfitting everybody with a bulletproof vest will make you safer, but it's a really lousy use of your security dollar. You're much better off spending it on a police force. Terrorism is no different. Hardening the targets doesn't make sense because there are just too many targets. Spending money on intelligence and investigation and emergency response works regardless of the target. So it's a much more cost-effective use of security.
It's the Big 89 WLS. Paul Harris talking with security expert Bruce Schneier, whose book is Schneier on Security. So there's been a lot of criticism of the Homeland Security Department for not insisting that we harden security around nuclear plants and chemical plants. You say are you saying, Bruce, that all of that criticism is misplaced?
Some of it is, some of it isn't. Right? There are certain targets that require some level of additional security. Right, airplanes, security on airplanes makes sense. Pre-9/11 security is perfectly reasonable. Targets that have a very large impact, if they blow up, a nuclear plant, a chemical plant, require some additional security. Right, national monuments, national events, some additional security. What I worry about is the fetish of having too much focused on the tactics and targets. So yeah, I mean, I do want to see more done with chemical plants. Right, the Bush administration wasn't very good at that. But on the other hand, we spend way too much money trying to screen ports and goods coming into the country. We will never make that work, and that's a waste of money.
Why can't we make that work?
Simply too many goods come into the United States. It is just too big a problem. Remember a few years ago when I think it was the Port of Los Angeles stopped about a week because of a strike? I mean, the effects in the country were huge.
Yeah.
Right, stopping and screening cargo will have a much, much greater effect. Yeah, and if you look at, what's likely to happen, it's not going to catch anything. And this is, again, what I call movie plot threat thinking. Right? We think of a particular movie plot. We think of a tactic. And we say we must defend against the tactic. But tactics are way too common. We must defend against the general threat. That's going to make us safer.
You mentioned a couple of times the liquid bombing thing, and I've always been curious about this, and maybe you're the guy to ask this. Could that plot have worked? Could you get on board a plane with two Gatorade jugs full of certain chemicals and make a bomb in the bathroom?
It seems not. A lot of chemists have looked at this and decided that there wasn't really a threat here, that the bomb couldn't have been made to work. You know, on the other hand, there are people inside the TSA who I respect who said, no, you're wrong, that there was a plot. So my feeling is no, but we don't know is the real answer. Right? The government, and I think rightly, is not saying, you know, it's a real risk and here's the recipe. Right? I think they're smart in keeping that secret.
Yeah.
But it seems to me and to a lot of other chemists that there is no recipe.
And by the way, just because there was a plot doesn't mean there was a workable plot.
Of course. And we see that in the United States a lot. I mean, there's those guys who, I mean, their plot, you know, it would be funny, it would be stupid in a comic book. They wanted to blow up Kennedy Airport by attacking the fuel lines. I mean, it just made no sense. Or the guys who were going to try to attack Fort Dix, and they were turned in by a pizza delivery guy. Or their really best one is the group in Florida that wanted to topple the Sears Tower. And it was going to have it fall near a prison, and then the prisoners would be released. And they would wreck havoc.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a dumb movie.
Yeah, it is.
And you get a lot of that. You get a lot of these bad guys, these terrorists, who have no freaking clue how reality works.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like the best we've caught. And this, again, goes to the premise that these terrorist attacks are actually hard to pull off. As easy as they are tactically, getting people to do it is harder than you think. Mm-hmm. Right? They've had 8 years, and they haven't done anything. They haven't even had one guy with a gun walk into a shopping mall and start shooting people,
mm-hmm.
which you think would be trivially easy. They haven't been able to do it.
We've had Americans do that, but we've had Americans do that, but no member of Al-Qaeda has done it.
That's right, and the question is why. But you think that would be pretty darn easy. It turns out it isn't.
Tell me about your first-person experiences with the TSA. You've tested them, haven't you?
You know, I've done some testing, you know, some tweaking. The boarding pass check, the ID check, it turns out to be trivially easy to fake a boarding pass. But I mean, I'm not worried about that because there's no security in the boarding pass check at all.
Yep.
It's very easy to bring liquids through in greater quantities. You know, I've brought 24 ounces of liquid. You put them in saline bottles, and because it's saline, it goes through.
Wait a second. You mean like for contact lenses?
Yeah, for contact lenses. It's a big, opaque bottle that you can't see inside, and you can cut the top off, fill it with any liquid you like, seal the top again, and go right through security. You know, but again, I mean, I see these things, but I'm not that worried because airport security isn't a line of defense I'm terribly concerned about. If we went back to pre-9/11 security, took all that money and put it in investigation intelligence, I'd feel a lot safer.
You know, the funny thing that occurs to me every time I fly, which is fairly often, is when I get to that first level of security that you're talking about, the boarding pass check, these are approximately the same people who used to be there beforehand. And to a man and a woman, they seem to be the people who got the job because they couldn't operate the fry machine at McDonald's. That's the level of skill we're talking there. They have to look at two things and then make a squibbly little ink mark on your boarding pass, and now you're allowed through into the most complex, quote, security system in the world.
You know, it's they're trying to do better. It's a terrible job. It's a boring job. If you've been to a casino, it's very similar to a casino dealer. It's boring. It's repetitive. And if you look at a casino, they rotate those people around quickly because it's so boring. TSA tries to do that, too. But, yes, they're having trouble getting good people, having trouble retaining people. They're definitely better than they were when they formed. But this is a hard problem. And, you know, you can blame the TSA, but I don't think anybody could do it better. This is fundamentally a hard thing for a person to do because it is so boring.
Last question for you, Bruce. Do you expect things to change in an Obama administration?
Somewhat. I think it's very important for us to roll back the rhetoric that this notion of war on terror was the wrong metaphor. You know, we could have gone after 9/11. We could have had a message of indomitability. We are the United States. We are bigger than these thugs. We are not going to let them change our society, change our way of life. Instead, we reacted from fear and from war, and we attacked, and that didn't make us safer. So I expect Obama to walk back the rhetoric. Right? He's closing Guantanamo. I think we'll find some more sense in prosecutions. But politically, I don't know how much he can change about the national ID card, about the TSA, about the Department of Homeland Security. There's a lot of stuff I don't think he can do. It's going to take another 8 to 12 years to roll that back. So I expect some changes, not as many as I want to see.
Bruce's new book is called Schneier on Security. You can also find him online at schneier.com, S-C-H-N-E-I-E-R. Are there two E's in there, Bruce?
Yes.
Yes, S-C-H-N-E-I-E-R.com is the website. Bruce, I really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you.
Bruce Schneier here with Paul Harris on the Big 89 WLS.